I want to do something a little different today. I'm so glad you're here. Welcome, Hope at Home. I want to talk a little bit about 4th of July. Somebody said it this way, what choices we make, make us. And when you think about the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence for that first 4th of July, you have to understand they risked everything. Yeah, if we won the war, how hard is it to start a new nation? It would be lots of hardship. And then if they lost the war, they would be hanged. But this is how it reads. We wherewithin pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And they did that. You know, it takes about 8 minutes to read the Declaration of Independence. There's 1,321 words. God's mentioned four times, twice in the beginning, twice at the end. And the purpose was to have a declaration that would separate a new country officially from the repression of England. Think about this. The very act of signing the Declaration of Independence said this, I'm a traitor. I am a traitor to my country of England. I am a criminal. I am a fugitive from London's justice. 56 men signed the Declaration of Independence. Two of them were in their 20s. 16 were in their 30s. 20 were in their 40s. 11 in their 50s. 6 in their 60s. And one, Benjamin Franklin, was over 70. All of them were married except two. Each of them had, like, on the average of 6 kids. 24 lawyers. 9 were merchants, 14 farmers, 4 were doctors, 1 preacher. Educated, civilized men willing to sacrifice everything for a cause they believed in, and they paid the price. I'm just going to mention a few of the men who signed the Declaration of Independence. Carter Braxton of Virginia signed the Declaration of Independence, and he was a wealthy planter and trader. Following his signing, his ships were destroyed, and to pay his debts, he lost all of his property, and in the end, he died in rags. Thomas McLean of Delaware was so harassed by the enemy, he was forced to move his family 5 times in 5 months. He served in Congress without pay. His family lived in poverty and in hiding, not to mention that vandals looted most of their properties. Thomas Nelson Jr. of Virginia raised $2 million in his own name to help fund the war. After the war, he personally paid back the loans, wiping out his entire estate. Never reimbursed by the government, in the final battle of Yorktown, Nelson urged General Washington to fire on his own home because it was occupied by the enemy. He died bankrupt. Francis Lewis had his home and everything destroyed. His wife was imprisoned, and she died there a couple of months later. Richard Stockton, who signed the Declaration, was captured and mistreated, his health mortally broken. His estate was pillaged. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside while she was dying. 13 of their children fled in every single direction. They hid in fields as their land was just laid waste. After the war, he came back and his wife was there dead. His children gone, and a few weeks later, I read that he died of exhaustion and a broken heart. These are the people who signed the Declaration of Independence. I was having a good talk with our son, Kevin, as he was here this week, and he said this. He said, Dad, hard times make strong men. Strong men make easy times. Easy times make weak men. Weak men make hard times. And then hard times make strong men. And Kevin said, Dad, where do you think we've been as a nation for a long time? Paul Harvey put it this way, of the 56 signers of the Declaration, few were long to survive. 5 were captured by the British and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes from Rhode Island to Charleston sacked and looted, occupied by the enemy or burned. 2 of them lost their sons in the army. 1 had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 died in the war from its hardships, or he writes this, or its more merciful bullets. I don't know what impression you have of those who signed the Declaration of Independence that hot day in Philadelphia, but today it is 4th of July, and it's not bad to remember this about them. They were not poor. They were not wild-eyed pirates. These were men of means, rich men, wealthy landowners, substantially secure in their prosperity. But they considered true liberty more important than security. They fulfilled their pledge and they paid a price. And as a result of that, we get to be here today and freedom was born. You know, few of them even benefited from their bravery. Most of them lost what they owned, but not one of them, not one recanted their original Declaration of Independence. These men were courageous, valiant, brave. Do you know that we live in the longest ongoing constitutional republic in the history of the world? And it's not by accident. Today we have the benefit of being here. It took perspective, it took pledge, and it took paying the price. And then the dream of America has become reality. When I think about that, I think about that sacrifice, and then I think about Christianity. The way we live our lives reflects how we know Jesus, our purpose here on earth. And the Bible is so full of those who had a life and a faith that outlasted their lives. You see, we make choices about what's important, and then those choices make us. One of probably my favorite chapters in the Bible is in the book of Hebrews. And let me read a couple of verses to you. It says this. Don't ever forget those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful, even though it meant terrible suffering. Some of you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten, and sometimes you helped others who were suffering in the same way. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail. When all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. You knew you had better things waiting for you in eternity. Don't throw away this confident trust in the Lord no matter what happens. Remember the great reward it will bring you. The men and the women who founded this country were committed to a cause. They wanted freedom. Those who are committed to Christ also want freedom. It's a freedom that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. At Hope Church, I purpose for you to live in freedom knowing Jesus Christ personally. The scripture goes on, it says, patiently endure. Patient endurance is what you need now. So you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive what he promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay. And the righteous person will live by faith. But I will have no pleasure with anyone who turns away. But we are not like those who turn their backs on God and seal their fate. We have faith that assures our salvation. You know, it was one thing to say, oh, I'd like to sign the Declaration of Independence. It was another thing to live on the front lines. It's one thing to say, I have a belief in God. It's another thing to say, I'm going to do whatever it takes to serve my God, no matter what else is happening. I purpose at Hope Church for you to know Jesus Christ personally. And I purpose for you to serve him passionately. And I purpose for you to make a contribution to the things of God that really matter. I was talking to somebody before church today, and they live very close to the things that happened recently in Pea Ridge. And he said, it just really affected me. I drove by and watched that flag draped over that officer. He said, really affected me. And I said, the reality is life is short for all of us. We never know what's going to happen. But I can tell you what's important It's connecting with your family, and it's connecting with your faith. When all is said and done, that's what will be said, and that's what will matter. You have faith. You have a trust. You have a knowledge. And I purpose for you at Hope Church to know Jesus Christ. God's will is for you to know him. God's will is for you to serve him. Our forefathers didn't think about what they could get from our country. They thought about what they could give. If you are kingdom-minded, in other words, it's not just about here on earth. It's not just about what we receive here on earth. If you are kingdom-minded, we look at the cause of Christ, the blood that was shed. We look at the cause, and then we think about our contribution. What a privilege that we have a nation that's free and that we're able to talk about the Lord today. But our nation is changing. And I'm not afraid of that change, but I'm telling you, if you don't have a strong faith in God, you're maybe going to be swept into believing things that are not true. There's freedom in knowing Jesus Christ. And commitment level is always attached to contribution level. There's no way that I could stand here before you today and share what I'm sharing without doing a little bit of work beforehand. There's no way that you can serve the Lord without a time to study about the Lord. There's no way that you can serve the Lord without a time that you connect with the Lord. And we've said this a lot of times about Hope Church. You can come as you are. You can be who you are. But our purpose is for you to grow in the Lord. Our purpose is for you to have a faith that works. Our purpose for you is to have freedom that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 11, it goes on to say this. Well, how much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith, and then he lists what I would call giants of the faith. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put entire armies to flight. Some died by stoning, and some were sawed in half. Some were killed with a sword. Some went about in skins of sheep and goats, hungry and oppressed and mistreated. I love this verse. They were too good for this world. They wandered over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All of these people we have mentioned received God's approval because of their faith, yet none of them had received what God had promised. What is that talking about? It's talking about none of the people that are mentioned here were able to see the birth of Jesus Christ. They had a faith in God through the Old Testament, but they didn't get to see the birth of Jesus Christ and realize the ultimate warrior, the ultimate hero was crucified on the cross so that you and me might have freedom. And I don't mean just freedom in our nation. I mean freedom in your heart, freedom in your life, the freedom to live as God intended, the freedom that when we die, we are absolutely ushered into the presence of God Almighty. For God had far better things in mind for us, that we would also benefit them. For they cannot receive the prize at the end of the race until we finish the race. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. I love 4th of July. Growing up, I loved 4th of July. I loved blowing things up. I mean, we had such a great time as little kids. We would go after where all the fireworks were, and we would, you know, just, we were so thankful. We found all these little black cats and these things that, you know, they didn't pop, and we would break them open and, you know, make piles of gunpowder. We loved blowing things up. But that's not really what the 4th of July is about. My mom this morning on my way to church, I called her. She said, "Hey, what are you going to barbecue tonight?" I said, "I think we're eating spaghetti." She goes, "Spaghetti?" I said, "Oh, that's right. You grill on the 4th of July, but we grill all the time. So it's not like it's that big of a deal. And, you know, I'm so excited about tonight. I mean, they do a really good fireworks show here. And it'll be fun hanging out with you. But that's not all that it's about. When's the last time you thought about the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence? I really never think about that. I never think about a man being forced out of his house and to come back after the war and his wife's there dead. I never think about all of the hardship. I think about the fact that I love having a house and I love having a car and I love eating tacos and all of those kind of things. I love that stuff. I love being able to ride, you know, my bike yesterday. All of the freedoms we have, but we have to understand at some point, somebody really paid a price for that. Honestly, I take it for granted that I live in a free nation. I take it for granted that I literally can speak about faith right here, right now, and nobody's going to come in and arrest me. I can disagree with your political point of view. You could disagree with my political point of view. We can disagree agreeably, and nobody is going to arrest us. We live in a free country, right? But the old cliche is actually true. Freedom is never free, and somebody paid a price for you to be free. And so in my Christian life, I'm so thankful that God has answered so many of my prayers. It's made my life better. I'm so thankful for all of the things that God has done to the point that at times I can actually take that for granted. Have you ever been there? Like we're kind of drafted into the most powerful enterprise on planet Earth, and it's helping people understand that God died for them. That Jesus shed his blood that we could have life. And there's times where I'm so busy being blessed that I forget that there's people who don't know Christ. I forget that there's people who really are struggling and they don't really know, like, biblical Christianity. Like, God super much cares. But then when we have a tragedy, right, in our community, or we're all praying. We're all brought back to God. But in the good times, like in our nation, we have really good times right now. But good times make weak men. And weak men make hard times. And in our faith, isn't it easy? I mean, it just is, to kind of be casual. I purpose for you to know Jesus personally. I purpose for you to serve him passionately. I purpose for you to share the good news with somebody else and stand for the truth that's found in God's holy word. How do we do this? Well, the book of Hebrews again gives us a pretty simple insight. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from start to finish. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. He was willing to die a shameful death on the cross because of the joy he knew would be his afterward. Now he is seated in the place of the highest honor beside God's throne in heaven. Think about all he endured when sinful people did such terrible things to him, so that you do not become weary and give up. If you want to have a strong faith today, tomorrow, until you meet Jesus face to face, this is how we do it. We put our eyes on him, the author and perfecter of our faith. We remind ourselves that he shed his blood for us. We take ourselves out of the chair being the CEO of our own lives. And we say, God, I want to live according to what you want me to do. Not according to what society says is right, not according necessarily to what I say is right. I want to live according to what you say is right. When we do that, our religion becomes far more than a religion. God will give you a faith to seek him. God will not only give you a faith to seek him, he'll give you a passion to serve him. I love that Rachel, I said this morning, hey, thanks for making those donuts, you know, getting everything ready. She said, I love doing that. I walk back to the nursery. Every week I come in, I bless the nursery workers. I could see, you know, they got kids. One kid started crying. I'm like, okay, I've talked to the preacher. I promise he will not go on for eternity today. And you could just see him. You know, God, give me strength. People who are loving on our kids. That's what serving is about. That's when your faith grows, not when just when we sit. It's when we serve. It's when we be part of a community. Because sometimes it's hard for me and I need you to lift me up. And sometimes it's hard for you and you need me to lift you up. Amen. God, if he were standing here today, and I know this in his holy word, he would say, you're part of an army to plunder hell and to populate heaven. You're part of an army that I want to bless and I want to keep alive. Because the greatest enterprise that's ever been on this planet is knowing Jesus Christ very well and making him known. My encouragement for you today, and this is kind of a different talk as we talk about our nation, but it just reminded me that we have a purpose of the church is not just to come to church, but to be church that others can come to. Not just to come to hope, but to be hope that others can find hope. Not just to wear a shirt, but to embrace a shirt. Not just to be a Christian, but to be a follower of Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. To celebrate our nation's birthday today is really a celebration. We celebrate this precious gift of freedom because 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence have paid a price. Freedom really is expensive, and it cost the forefathers and many, many men, many women. Up to this present time, there was a big price to pay. What was true of our forefathers was also true about 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ spilled his blood so you and me would have life. So that you and me would have life. Not only now, but the assurance of eternity. We make choices about what's important, and then the reality is our choices make us. God, help us to live as free men and free women. God, help us until you come also to share the good news with those who haven't received Jesus Christ yet. Let me pray with you and appreciate you so much being here today. What a beautiful, beautiful opportunity that we have to live in a free nation and also to have a free heart that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. Father, thank you. Thank you that you love us and we're surrounded by such a crowd of witnesses, men and women who were strong in their faith. They weren't persuaded by the things of this world. They were persuaded by you. And I pray, Lord, that we would grow stronger in our faith. I pray, Lord, for those at home who aren't able to be here today. I pray for those who are here, Lord, that truly you would bless us and you would keep us and you would make your face to radiate about us, God, and that we would live in your peace. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, like if you were tragically today to take your last breath, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Do you know absolutely, absolutely for sure that you would be ushered into the presence of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of your sins would usher you into the presence of God Almighty because of the price Jesus paid? If you don't know that, I want to pray a prayer for you. I just want to pray a simple prayer between you and me and God Almighty, that you would make him the CEO of your life. If you would like me to pray a special prayer just between you and me, would you look up at me? Just say, Pastor Jim, pray for me. Okay. Pray for me, Pastor Jim. I totally want to know. Father, I thank you. They're really not looking to me. They're looking to you. I'm here to pray with them. You're the one who will absolutely, absolutely give them life forevermore. God, it's not bad for all of us to say, just forgive us of our sins, God. Jesus, become the Lord of our life. Help us to take another step this week to get closer to you. Fixing our eyes on you, the beginning and the end, the one who started the faith, the one who will end faith with us in heaven. And God, for those who say that we know you, would our commitment equal our contribution? May we seek you, God. May we serve you and may we share with somebody, even this week, that there's hope to be found in knowing Jesus personally. Love is not love. God is love. And God, you loved us to the point you sacrificed yourself for us. It wasn't what you could get, it's what you could give. Before we knew you, you died in our place. God, bless each one today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's stand together.